at the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness.
They have to get it. No timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to special edition of Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Dan, obviously today's Yahoo story on the corruption in college basketball, number of players named, prominent players, not guys that don't roll right off the tongue, the Wendell Carters, the Miles Bridges of the world, Dennis Smith, even a Malcolm Brogdon of Virginia, cutting across all levels, all institutions. What was your first reaction when you read the story?
What a good day for college basketball for those that don't cheat. I'll say this till I drop. What a good day, because let's expose. I mean, let's get this, you know, there's so many rumors, there's so many things going around. My other thought was this is one agent. There are still numerous agents that will talk, that will be connected by this, and there are still numerous hours of phone calls, wiretaps, yet to be determined. And it's funny, I text Pete Thamel, who was involved in writing the story, and he said point blank, we got too much work to do. We're not talking, and I got too much work to do. You know, and then, of course, it was, well, watch all these coaches now. They don't know anything. All the guys that tell us how to live our lives, all the guys that tell us, like Izzo, social media is no good. Krzyzewski tells us how to live in books, and now all of a sudden they don't know anything. They don't know. How do they know? So, good for Brian Dutcher. Brian Dutcher is the only guy to this point that has stepped up and said, I am suspending Malik Pope because he is in this report and I'm not causing any more difficulty to our eligibility, to our school. So I got a lot of respect for Brian Dutcher. But good day. Good day in college basketball. Let's get rid of all these guys and move forward.
Here's the deal. First of all, I can't believe anyone's going to play a player until they do an internal investigation. I mean, you can't do a one-day internal investigation. I mean, to me, I thought what would happen is that these players that are named in the report would immediately be suspended upon an internal review from an outside entity. I mean, that makes common sense to me.
Yeah.
Secondly, I don't think you can just paint a broad brush. This is where you and I disagree. And if the connection isn't good right now, please understand, I am walking around in an airport. I am not in the studio with Dan. I'm on my way to beautiful Lubbock. How many people would say they're excited to go to Lubbock besides Seth Greenberg for game day tomorrow? But here's the thing I have a problem with, is that anyone who says they don't know the agents, everyone knows the agents. I agree with you 100%. Just because you know the agent, just because you have a relationship with the agent, every coach has a relationship with these agents. And I've always said, in recruiting, there's a circle of influence around that prospect. A circle of influence. And you know what? As a coach, you're going to touch everyone in the circle, and at worst, keep them neutral. And that recruiting's all about who's working for you when you're not there. So, like, to me, just because coaches, and this is where we disagree, just because coaches have a relationship with these guys, doesn't mean they're the ones saying, hey, I need this guy really bad. Give him 40 grand. Give him 20 grand. Because except for Dennis Smith and a couple guys, the amounts of money weren't extreme.
No, and Seth, let me stop you. I don't disagree with you there. I really don't. I don't disagree with you at all there. I really don't. I will say this, though. There's a lot of money sitting on those benches. A lot of suits sitting on those benches. A lot of director of player personnel. A lot of this, a lot of that. And you're telling me that nobody on these staffs knew that Colin Sexton or Miles Bridges' mom wouldn't take money? That's what you're telling me. All these guys, and again, I go back, all these coaches, they tell us how to live our lives.
These guys have been taking money. Here's my thing, though. Here's right on the screen. These guys have been taking money since their juniors in high school, probably. Because let's face it, every good AAU program.
So you have a choice as a coach. I asked Tim Miles this today, and I'll ask you the same question. You ever turned down a kid because he was taking, because you thought his family might have their hand out in recruiting?
Oh, hand out to me? Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, we couldn't get
you ever. You ever turned down a kid because you thought he had his hand out to an agent?
No, we didn't recruit those guys. I
know.
Like you said, if you, hey, you're going to Pepperdine and you're going to cheat your ass off. I mean, that was Tuesday. I'm going to Pepperdine to live in Malibu and I'm cheating my ass off. I've never been involved with those guys, but here's what I would say. And I would say that this thing starts well before the recruiting process. Well, not before the recruiting process, but the AAU coach, there's not a top 25 player in the country that does not have an alignment with probably an AAU program who has an alignment with an agent, who has an alignment with a shoe company. And you can't stop that, because for the agent, back in the day, coaches and boosters were paying off players. Today, because of the amount of money, it's agents and money managers. But the process, to me, starts so far before, not before the recruiting process starts, because all these head coaches, all these assistant coaches have relationships with these guys, whether they admit it or not. And you know what? Those agents can only help one guy at a time. They just want to make sure they get the dude back.
I don't necessarily read into this, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but again, this is only one agent. I really, and this is where I'll exonerate coaches even farther, I don't read into this that, you know, Andy Miller's guy, what's that guy's name, Dawkins, gave Miles Bridges' mom $400 to send him to Izzo. I don't read that into it. I don't read that into it. I don't think.
You just say once again, they realize that it's transpiring, you need to walk.
Well, you got a lot of guys on that staff, and everybody's close to Dawkins. Everybody knows the Dawkins family for years. They recruited Draymond Green. And you're telling me that nobody on that staff had any idea that the mother had a handout or would be susceptible to getting money, yet you as the coach, the head coach, and this is what coaches do, and you know this, they view themselves as the smartest men in the world. They write books on how to live.
Deniability.
And now all of a sudden, oh, we didn't know, but you know how everybody's supposed to live. You know, how many books has Kay written? You know, Izzo, he's self-deprecating, but he tells everybody how they're supposed to live on social media and things. But when it comes to their own thing, the thing they're most responsible for, the thing they're paying assistant coaches upwards of $500,000, nobody knew that Colin Sexton's people might have their handout or that Miles Bridges' mom might have a handout. If you want to believe that, that's cool, and I know you don't.
Or Josh Jackson's, or Wendell Carter's,
sure.
I go back to the same thing. I think that, you know, everyone, I think, looks at it and says, I don't want to know what I don't know, because I know these. Look, we all, maybe I am naive, but if you're a top 25, top 50 kid, odds are you have a connection with someone, and someone is taking care of something. Because like the numbers they're saying, I really believe it's a lot worse than like these numbers. I think they're low.
I'll say this. Like, Wendell Carter apparently went to lunch. Now, I'm being told $200 is the threshold. I'm looking at Miles Bridges, and I'm saying, okay, if it's $400, you said it earlier, Seth, this is my experience. You make the kid ineligible, pay back the $400 to a charity or whatever. Next thing you know, you're eligible. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at those things saying to myself, yeah, I mean, but again, here's the risk. Again, I go to all these coaches talking about integrity, right? They would have to wait. And I don't know the ins and outs of this, but they would have to wait for the NCAA to reinstate them. You see what I'm saying here? One thing I did learn, and the NCAA can put a smooch on my backside if they say everybody's equal. It was a lot quicker to get a kid reinstated when I was at Indiana than it was when I was at Bowling Green. I mean, Indiana, they snap, hey, yeah, we'll do it. Michigan State, hey, yeah, we'll do it. But you're risking, if you come out right now, as Brian Dutcher did, and say, hey, we're suspending Malik Pope, if Izzo hasn't, you know, has the what's it called to do that, then he, you know, he's playing for a Big Ten title. If Ohio State wins tonight, then Izzo's got to win to get it outright. And don't think that doesn't play into this, too. And don't think for a second, if this wasn't the 10th man on the bench, these guys wouldn't be sitting there on their high horse saying, we're suspending him. But no, it's Miles Bridges. No, it's Colton Sexton. So we're not as quick to do that with those guys.
Well, here's the thing. Actually, the way it works, because the institution does an internal investigation, until they get a letter of inquiry, right, they can't – the thing doesn't even begin in terms of getting restated. I mean,
no, but didn't you ever have a kid that played – like I had a kid that played in a game in the summer. We went right to our – compliance people, they said, okay, we're deeming him ineligible because this is a possibility, and then you get him back eligible or he misses an exhibition game.
Right, right. Yep, 100%. Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, the one thing I'm interested to see is, you know, in the next few days, you know, well, Michigan State flat out said they've already investigated it, which is, you know, again, and they're crossing their T's, dotting their I's. They sat down, I'm sure, the mom and the kid, they denied it. And then let me ask you this. This Christian Dawkins. Now, obviously, they had Draymond Green. Christian Dawkins is basically the son, the adopted son. Is that correct?
Something like that,
Green's high school coach? Yeah.
Lou, yeah.
Who was an assistant coach at Cleveland State, right?
Think so.
Yeah, so, I mean, like Christian Dawkins is one of the world great con mans of all time.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is, right, do you need these, you know, he's come up, obviously he's turned state's evidence. To shorten his sense, it seems like it, because how do they get his records? How did
Absolutely.
Get the...
So well, what happened was they raided Andy Miller's office. And if any college coach tells you he doesn't know who Andy Miller is, they're out of their mind. They're just flat lying.
Yeah, they all know who Andy Miller is. To me, you're looking at these players, Wendell Carter. I mean, Marvin Bagley's dad has his own Nike deal, supposedly. I mean, the kid that's going to Duke this year, Zion Williamson. You know, he was with me all summer with the Adidas group. And his dad's got his own AAU team and is sponsored by Adidas. So, I mean, like, this – I just look at this and I say, like, what's the solution? All right, like, so how do we create a solution for this? Do we give players the right, like in baseball, to have advisors? There's a big difference in advisors and being given money. Do we give the kids a chance to use their likeness and say, you know what, go ahead, use your likeness. But if you decide to use your likeness to make money, then you know what, you pay for your own scholarship. And how many guys would get a deal? Like, how many guys do you think would get it? Like, they make a big deal of this. How many guys move the needle? How many guys' jersey really sells? How many guys would get a shoe contract? No one in the G League gets a shoe contract.
Let me ask you a question. You go to a G League game, same guys that were just playing at Indiana, Kentucky, Kansas, there's nobody at the game. There's nobody at the game, and there's nobody wearing the shoe deal. Let me ask you another question. There's a kid that wears number 11 at Indiana, right?
Brand.
There's a kid who wears number 11 at Indiana, Devontae Green. And, you know, Indiana hadn't been any good when he was there. How much of people that buy the number 11 jersey are buying it because Isaiah Thomas or Dane Fife, you know, or me, Dan Dockage wore it? None for me, but Isaiah Thomas or number 11 Indiana? I mean, why does Devontae Green get that money because people are buying it for Isaiah Thomas? You know that's my point. Like, hey, you know, who gets the money? I mean, and what do you say to somebody that says, well, I went to a G League game, I saw Russ Smith, because I just saw a thing where Russ Smith was playing in a G League game, the kid from Louisville. There wasn't one person wearing a Russ Smith shirt. You go to a Louisville game, somebody's probably wearing a Russ Smith jersey. So is it the Louisville on the front? Or is it the Russ Smith? So what? I think it's the Louisville that makes the Russ Smith. So I don't know the answer. The only thing I know.
Exactly, sold for the Mad Ants. I mean, you don't have a lot of Mad Ant Tyler Hansbrough shirts. I know that.
But you go to a North Carolina Final Four like last year. How many did you see? I mean, you saw a zillion of them, North Carolina Tyler Hansbrough. So I don't have the answers. Only thing I know is, you know, the rules going in. And Duke just released, they've done an internal investigation, found no eligibility issues regarding. That's fine. But, you know, these are sworn documents. This is sworn testimony. So I just hope that these teams that decide to play people, they don't end up having the press conferences that Louisville has had just a few minutes ago or just a few days ago.
You know, it's amazing to me, and we'll close it on this. It's amazing to me that you can have these serious allegations. I mean, they're serious allegations. And the internal investigation could be done within 4 hours. Like, and I think these people have been doing this investigation for 3 years. Right? The FBI, like, that's what they do for a living. I mean, they're the FBI. They never smile. They wear dark sunglasses and black suits. And yet we can do internal investigations in 3 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours. To me, that's the craziest thing in the world.
We got this last night, Seth, and we've conducted an internal investigation. And by, well, hell, it's not even 4 o'clock. By 3:30, we've concluded we got no problems. Damn, I want you guys investigating me next time I do something incredibly stupid.
Which could be tomorrow.
Which could be in 10 minutes.
<You're the best.
laughs> All right, well, I'll tell you what. I think that does it for the special edition, Courtside with Two Fired Coaches, Solving All the World's Problems, the world's greatest podcast. What do you think, D-Squared?
I think it is fantastic. I think we're giving the listeners, we're up to the minute. Thanks to our friend Kyrie. Thanks to our friend Gabe. And I hope you get a kick out of our podcast, and I hope you learn something.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.